Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about peace in the Middle East. Peace in Israel and the Middle East. That is as a result of President Donald J. Trump's intervention, which I believe is an act of God being played out through man, being carried out through the President of the United States of America. I believe that we are going to continue to see additional nations come into the treaty, just as President Trump has said would take place. But ladies and gentlemen, President Trump has accomplished what John Kerry and others declared impossible. He has brought about what is called the Abraham Accord. Number one, a first peace agreement was with the Israel and the United Arab Emirates. Secondly, the peace agreement with Israel and Bahrain. Let me just read you a couple of articles in substantiation of that statement in the event you've not heard the real news. President Trump announced a historic peace agreement between Israel and the UAE. The United Arab Emirates and Israel agreed to full normalization of diplomatic relations. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in that statement alone, that's huge. It's huge. It is something that a year ago, 5 years ago, would have never believed to be possible. This article says, a huge breakthrough today. Historic peace agreement between our two great friends, Israel and the United Arab Emirates, President Trump tweeted Thursday morning. The president, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi, and Deputy Supreme Commander of the United Arab Emirates, released a joint statement Thursday after the three spoke and agreed to a full normalization of relations between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. The statement said the diplomatic breakthrough was at the request of President Trump, and that Israel will suspend declaring sovereignty over areas outlined in President Trump's vision for peace and focus its efforts on expanding ties with other countries in the Arab and Muslim world. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me go back. Read carefully this last sentence. It is buried into a total statement, but it is extremely important to understand. The statement said the diplomatic breakthrough was at the request of President Trump, and that Israel, listen, will suspend declaring sovereignty, that is ownership and ruler, over areas outlined in President Trump's vision for peace and focus its efforts now on expanding ties with other countries in the Arab and Muslim world. Israel and the UAE also said they will continue efforts to achieve just, comprehensive, and enduring resolution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Ladies and gentlemen, this agreement between the Israeli people and the United Arab Emirates and Bahrain simply does not include the Palestinians, the Arab Islamic jihadist. That's the next door neighbor to Israel. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Pastor, I'm not looking forward to this call. You just started talking about what I wanted to talk about, and that is that there will never be peace in the Middle East until Hamas, Fatah, Hezbollah, and all those other organizations are out of the way. How do you see that happening?
Well, let me simply cut through the minutia. There will not be peace until the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns, according to the book in Zechariah, the 14th chapter, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 in particular. When Jesus Christ returns, there will be peace around the globe. But until then, there shall not be real peace. Now, there will be modicums of peace. There will be indications of potentiality, just like we're finding now, but there will not be real peace. Number one, the Palestinians slash There's no such thing ethnic groups, never been an ethnic group called Palestinians. It's because of the land of Palestine that it was called Palestine. They have claimed that term, the Palestinians. They're simply jihadist Islamic Arabs that will not be satisfied. One of the good evidences of that, by the way, is something that's not been publicly talked about in this peace pact that has been brought about between Bahrain and the Israelis and between the United Arab Emirates and Israel, is the fact that during the course of this peace process, the Palestinians, the Arab Islamic jihadists, were offered $50 billion to come to the table and to be a part of the peace process. They out of hand rejected it, refused to do so. Going back to the days of Yasser Arafat and others, where they would be the potentiality with William Jefferson Clinton and others, seemingly looked like they were going to have a peace treaty, and it simply was elusive because the Arab Islamic jihadists refused to do so. Their goal, as they have said multitudinous times, is to push Israel into the Great Sea. That's the Mediterranean. They look at the Jewish people as being pigs and as dogs, even in their grammar schools and grade schools and kindergartens. They're teaching the Islamic jihadist Arabs how to carry a weapon and how to view the Jewish people as being less than human beings. So no, you're exactly right. There shall never be real peace, as you and I know peace. There shall never be real peace in the Middle East until the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ himself, comes.
Okay, well, how do you see all of these the enemies of Israel? I mean, we know there's going to be peace because, I mean, the pseudo peace eventually, because Daniel says that when Israel is dwelling in peace. So how is that going to happen? Doesn't that mean that Hezbollah, Fatah, all those groups are going to have to be destroyed?
Well, it's not Daniel that says that. That's found in Ezekiel chapter 38, that there will come a day when Israel will be a nation of unwalled villages. That is, they will have a sense of peace, but that's dealing with the war with Russia, as it is called, when the five Islamically controlled nations led by Russia will come against the nation of Israel, and they will be, God will intervene, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39. God will intervene and will destroy the enemies of God, the enemies of Christ, the enemies of the nation of Israel, the enemies of the Jewish people. It will be God. In fact, you will find in the final days of the Battle of Armageddon, the final days of this old world, the wrap-up you find in Revelation chapter 19, verses 17 through 21. When Jesus Christ returns, he will slay the enemies of God, the enemies of Christ, enemies of the church, enemies of Israel, with the sword of his mouth, the scripture says, in verses 19, 20, and 21 of chapter 19 in particular. So, yes, there will be pseudo-peace, but there will not be real peace until the Prince of Peace returns. There will be that pseudo-peace, but in the midst of what seemingly is a peace agreement, that will be absolutely broken. You find that in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. There will be that ultimate peace treaty that everybody that's elusive now, that every president, every potentate, every prime minister has sought after for all of these centuries, ultimately there will be that one that will step on the scene. His name is the Antichrist, the lawless one, the one that is the beast of Revelation 13. He will step on the scene and be able to seemingly magically, but it will be by demonic, supernatural, demonic power, that he will be able to bring about a peace treaty. 7 years exactly is the time. 3.5 years will be viewed as peace. The midway of that 7-year treaty, according to Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 and following, he will break that treaty and try to eviscerate, try to destroy, annihilate the apple of God's eye, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. But as a result of that, God will come in and destroy the Antichrist. In fact, that's where Daniel chapter 11, verse 36 and following comes in, where during the midst of the battle, there will be the news out of the east, that's the Far East, that is coming out of China. And you see in Revelation chapter 9 where China with the 200 million man army will come in, and it's seen in that prophetic text in Daniel, the 11th chapter, verses 36 and following, primarily found in about verse 40, 41, 42, where news to that will rattle the Antichrist. That thing that rattles the Antichrist is when the troops out of the Far East, that is China, will come against him. So we're looking at the stage being set for all of the prophetic future of the nation of Israel and for the world. But thank you so much for your call and for your interest, and God bless you today. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Yes, very good program thus far. You know, Netanyahu also said that all the children of Abraham will benefit from this peace. And we have to remember that Isaac and Ishmael and Jacob and Esau, when Abraham passed away, Ishmael came together to a degree with Isaac to mourn the passing, and Jacob and Esau had sort of a reconciliation. But there's coming forth even a greater reconciliation. And after Sarah passed away and Hagar was gone, Abraham married Keturah, had more sons, and he even had concubines. So it's going to – Netanyahu's looking at the big picture, and eventually these so-called terroristic groups will come into play, and they'll have to find – they'll get in line. Because in Isaiah 19, it talks about in that day there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian will come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria.
And the you're exactly right, but if I could jump in for a moment, that in Isaiah 19 is talking about the days of the millennial reign. That's after the rapture of the church. That's after the 7 years of tribulation. That's after the Antichrist has tried to eviscerate the nation of Israel. It's after Zechariah chapter 12, verses 9 and falling, where the Jewish people will seemingly be eviscerated. They'll seemingly look like they're going to be destroyed. They'll recognize Yeshua, Messiah, and weep and wail, and will receive Jesus Christ as Messiah and go into the millennial reign. Yes, in the millennial reign, there will be peace among all. There will not be any war anymore.
Well, yes, and actually Isaiah 19, though, that's when there will be ultimate peace. There will only be pseudo-peace in the interim. And even this treaty, so it's a pseudo-peace. It's a false peace. And in Daniel, it talks about the anti-Messiah will come and confirm the covenant made, the pseudo-peace. And I agree with you, the millennial reign, that's when this will ultimately come to pass. And Isaiah 9, we'll talk about of the increase of his peace in government, there shall be no end. And of the increase of his peace, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. So that'll be when ultimate peace comes. In the meantime,
absolutely.
In the meantime, it's the Hebrew shalom, shalom, vain shalom, peace, peace, but there isn't real peace. So there's not going to be real peace until the millennial reign, the kingdom age.
You're exactly right. And one of the things that our listeners need to understand is from the human standpoint, for those that are operating in the flesh or from the vernacular, as I would call it, this is what they see as real peace. But for you and I and others that know the Word of God, we understand that there shall be no real peace until Yeshua Messiah steps on the scene and brings about peace. That's what 1/4 of all of the book of Isaiah is about, is the millennial reign, where Jesus Christ rule and reign for 1,000 years. It's called the millennial reign. But until then, there will be no real peace. But what we're talking about, as we see today, is what God, I believe God has used President Donald J. Trump with his divine intervention to bring about establishing the headquarters, the capital of Israel, back in Jerusalem where it should be, the embassy in Jerusalem where it should be, the Golan Heights in the hands of the Israelis as it should be. And we're watching the stage being set for what ultimately will be that man of sin, the Antichrist, that will have that 7-year peace covenant, that the whole world will think then this is the end of the wars and rumors of wars in Israel, but he will break that and try to destroy the apple of God's eye, the Jewish people. This is the reason in Psalms 122, we need to recognize what the Scripture says in relationship to praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalms 122 Amen. And verse 6. Thank you so much for your call today, and God bless you. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please. Hello.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, thank you for a very interesting topic today. My question, I would like you to explain, I'm a little puzzled about the UEA, exactly what countries are involved in it.
That is a modern term, United Arab Emirates. It is a group. It is a large swath of land, if you would put it geographically, that's made up of Islamics. As a result of their coming into the picture, we find that there is the indication there that the major group, I would call it, of the Islamics are. And what President Donald Trump has done, he has left off with any negotiations with the Palestinians. That small group of Arab jihadists next door to Israel, and he's gone what I call an inverted pyramid. He's gone to the larger Islamic nations that are more interested in commerce than they are of war, and as a result of that, he's bringing a top-down influence on the Palestinians, as they're called. I call them the Arab jihadist, the Islamic jihadist, but we're talking about the approach that he's taken, is taking the big picture and coming down, which ultimately, I believe, will bring enough force and pressure on the Palestinians that they will want to come to the table. But we're watching the hand of God as God is working through mankind to set the stage for the ultimate peace treaty that shall take place in the days of the tribulation with the Antichrist.
I was thinking about exactly what countries, like, does that include Saudi Arabia, or what countries?
Oh, no. It does not include Saudi Arabia. It's a separate nation itself. In fact, I believe Saudi Arabia is probably next on the pecking order list for President Trump, that he'll bring Saudi Arabia into it. I have no question in my mind, but that is one of the next steps that President Trump is working on. But no, it does not include Saudi Arabia. When you look at the geographical map, it is in that general region. I looked at it just yesterday. I don't have it before me. In that general region, but it is not Saudi Arabia. It does not include them. But I believe it will ultimately include Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
But we keep on praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Keep on looking up, lifting up our heads. Thank you so much today. God bless you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the peace in the Middle East. The peace in the Middle East. Is this real peace, or is it simply what we could consider as a symbol of peace, or is it real peace, as we had with the previous one of our previous callers? It's not real peace until the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, returns and brings about peace. Here's another article that says President Trump deal between Bahrain, Israel, to normalize relations and push the Middle East peace. The article says, deal comes after similar agreement with the United Arab Emirates just last month. President Donald Trump on Friday announced Bahrain has agreed to normalize relations with Israel, another diplomatic win for the president coming after a similar agreement with the United Arab Emirates just a month ago. Another historic breakthrough today. Our great friend, Friends of Israel and the Kingdom of Bahrain, agreed to a peace deal, the second Arab country to make peace with Israel within 30 days, President Trump tweeted. According to the formal statement issued by the three countries, they had agreed to establish a full diplomatic relations between Israel and the Kingdom of Bahrain. This is a historic breakthrough to peace, the further peace treaty, peace plan in the Middle East, opening direct dialogue with the ties between those two dynamic societies and advanced economies will continue the positive transformation of the Middle East and increase stability, security, and prosperity in the region, the statement said. The statement said that Israel had also affirmed that all Muslims may visit and pray at the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and Jerusalem's other holy sites will remain open for peaceful worshipers of all faiths. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's pertinent, because as it stands now, there's been major skirmishes at the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Temple Mount down through the years. There's been major skirmishes there where the Islamic jihadists do not want the Jewish people to go there for worship. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that says the Arab Accords, a commitment to peace, no promises to the Palestinians. The historic Arab Abraham Accord, which were signed at the White House in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday afternoon, marking the first peace agreement between Israel and the Arab states in more than 25 years. This is an incredible day for the world, said President Donald J. Trump at the beginning of the ceremony. Israel signed the Abraham Accord peace agreement with the United Arab Emirates and the Kingdom of Bahrain, alongside separate bilateral normalization agreements with two Gulf states. The Abraham Accord outlined the three nations' commitment and maintaining and strengthening peace in the Middle East and around the world based on mutual understanding and coexistence. We seek to end radicalization and conflict to provide all children a better future, reads the agreement. We pursue a vision of peace and security and prosperity in the Middle East and around the world. Here's another article. President Donald Trump declares dawn of a new Middle East. Declaring the dawn of a new Middle East, President Trump presided over the signing of the Arab Accords, two historic Middle East diplomatic agreements between Israel and two Gulf nations. We're here this afternoon to change the course of history, he said. After decades of division and conflict, we mark the dawn of a new Middle East, he said in a ceremony in the South Lawn of the White House. President Trump said the deals normalizing relations between Israel, the United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain formed the foundation for a more comprehensive peace agreement in the entire region. Thanks to the great courage of the leaders of these three countries, we take major strides toward a future in which people of all faiths and backgrounds live together in peace and prosperity, said President Trump. In fact, it was the former Ambassador Haley that praises Trump, says he's done an Enron around the Palestinians for peace, a remarkable historic agreement. Rather than focus on the Palestinians, which is what every president has thought they had to do to negotiate peace, he focused on Iran. Listen, Nikki Haley, former U.S. ambassador to the UN, praised President Donald Trump's achievement in helping bring to fruition a peace deal between Israel, the United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain in her Fox interview on Wednesday. The difference was go back to the first foreign policy speech that President Trump gave. It was the Arab community, and he said, let us work together in the name of peace, and he did something no other president has done, Haley said. Rather than focus on the Palestinians, which is what every other president has done, he focused on Iran. Now, the question is, how does Iran come into this picture, and what are we talking about when that writer said that he focused on the nation of Iran? Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand what the dynamics are here. Iran is the one now that is hair on fire and all upset because President Trump has negotiated peace with some of the major leaders in the Arab Islamic world. Iran has been left on the sidelines, if you will, in relationship to this process that's taking place, but it's to bring ultimate pressure on the nation of Iran to get something accomplished. In fact, here is part of the speech by Netanyahu. Benjamin Netanyahu's entire speech at the White House signing ceremony for the Abraham Accord. And I'm not going to read you the entire speech, but I'm going to read you some blurbs from this. First, because this is Benjamin Netanyahu. First, because this peace will eventually expand to include other Arab states, and ultimately it can end this Arab-Israeli conflict once and for all, Benjamin Netanyahu said, quote, this day is a pivot in history. It heralds a new dawn for peace. For thousands of years, the Jewish people have prayed for peace. For decades, the Jewish state has prayed for peace. And this is why today we're filled with such profound gratitude. I am grateful to you, Mr. President, for your decisive leadership. And further, Benjamin Netanyahu said, King David expressed this basic truth thousands of years ago in our eternal capital, Jerusalem. He prayed. His prayer, immortalized in the Book of Psalms in the Bible, echoes from our glorious past and guides us into a brilliant future. May God give strength to his people, and may God bless his people, the Jewish people, with peace today. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the profound statement from Benjamin Netanyahu in the signing of that peace agreement. But here's the statement coming out of Iran. Iran blasts, B-L-A-S-T, Bahrain, for making peace with Israel. Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps denounced the Israeli-Bahrain peace deal, calling it a threat to security in the West Asia and the Muslim world. Iran on Saturday strongly condemned Bahrain's plan to normalize relations with Israel, calling it a shameful and ignominious move by a Gulf Arab country. Bahrain's announcement Friday followed a similar normalization agreement last month by United Arab Emirates, a fellow U.S. ally. The two Arab nations establishment of full relations with Israel is part of the broader push by the Trump administration to create stability in a region plagued by the Iranian terror proxies, You see, all of the nations, listen, ALL, all of the nations surrounding Israel have been in the hands of Iran as proxies. They have played out their war to destroy the nation of Israel by the proxies that they have funded, that they have provided armaments to do so. And now Iran's upset because of this by taking place by Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates. This article says, in a statement, the foreign minister of Bahrain's normalization will remain in the historic memory of the oppressed and downtrodden people of Palestine and the world's free nations forever. Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard also denounced Bahrain's move, using similar language, calling it a betrayal of the Palestinian people and a threat to the security in the West Asia and Muslim world. The agreement by the UAE and now Bahrain are setbacks to the Palestinian leaders, who demand that Arab nations withhold renegotiations or any recognition of the Jewish state until they have secured an independent state. In other words, here is Iran that's still pushing for there to be an independent state. That is the dividing of the nation of Israel and a dividing of Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, this article says the Palestinians were offered around $50 billion in economic incentives in the proposal, but they responded by launching near total boycott of the White House as a result of the peace agreement with Bahrain and the UAE. Ladies and gentlemen, even the nation of Egypt, Erdogan, is now saying that his nation is a nation of army and they are willing to sacrifice martyrs, the Turkish prime minister stated, Erdogan. He is simply, ladies and gentlemen, out of Turkey, and you go back and you look at the map and you'll understand that's old Asia Minor, and it's all controlled by Islamic jihadists today. And he is against, Turkey is against it. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, there's coming a day when Russia will lead five nations, Russia, old Persia, modern Iran, Ethiopia, that's modern Sudan, Libya, Gomer, that's modern Germany, and Timogar, that is modern Turkey, Erdogan's territory, and Syria. They will come against the nation of Israel, ladies and gentlemen, in one fell swoop, trying to eviscerate, to annihilate, to destroy the apple of God's eye. And God's word says in Ezekiel 38 and 39 that he will fight for Israel, that he will crush the enemy, that he will bring about consternation in the warring machine in that, and will destroy them and protect the nation of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, the Abraham Accord is simply setting the place, setting this pace for the future work of what shall take place in the ultimate coming days, when the man of sin, the Antichrist, will have a false peace treaty and will develop that peace treaty and break it and try to destroy the apple of God's eye. We need to continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Thank you for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.